Galatians chapter 6, the theme today from God's Word is burden bearing. Heavenly Father, please help us in the time that we have remaining. Lord, there might be someone here today that is not saved. I don't know everyone's heart. We don't have any visitors that I'm aware of, but Lord, that doesn't mean everyone is saved. I pray, Lord, that if there is someone lost, that you would draw them to yourself. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us that know you would know you better because of this scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. So far, we have seen a combination from the Apostle Paul of reproof and instruction. Reproof and instruction. And we see here in these verses, and we actually read them a few Sundays ago. If you were here, you'll remember that our missionary pastor, Helper Missions Conference, went to this text and preached from it as well. But a new challenge is given from the Apostle Paul. The new challenge here is in regards to how we treat one another. One another meaning within the family of God, within the local church. And I believe that there is much help to be gained from these verses and how we conduct ourselves within the local church. I found this quote this week. It's interesting that the quote is, quote, "It's interesting that Paul would emphasize this theme in an epistle written to confront people who were falling into legalism. You want to observe the law? Let it be the law of Christ." And isn't that the case? That is the law that we want to be observing in this day and age. I am challenged greatly from this text that if I'm going to be a burden bearer, it is imperative, if I'm going to bear your burdens, if you're going to bear my burdens, that's what we're called on to do. I found this to be challenging to me. Then I must get to know the people that I worship with on Sunday and Wednesday. How can I bear your burden if I don't know what your burden is? And I understand that some people are more private than others, and that's fine. I tend to be the exact opposite, so that's good. My wife and I kind of balance each other out there. But obviously, within the family of God, there are things that God wants us to help one another bear and carry and encourage. But if you don't know anyone who you're sitting with or around today, I can tell you this, you will not be a burden bearer in those people's lives. It's impossible. And so first and foremost, that's a very convicting thought to me. How can I bear the burden of the one I sit near every Sunday when I don't even know who they are? Think about it. How do I bear the burden of the one in front of me? Just think about who's in front of you right now. Now, if you're on the front row, well, I guess it's me. Sorry, that's selfish. If you're on the back row, Brother Mitch is the only one behind you. So think about who's sitting behind you. Everybody's thinking about you, Brother Mitch, that's on the back row, unless they're in the sound booth over here. Seriously, though, think about the person in front of you. Number one, I want you to think about this. Number one, do you know their name? If you don't know their name, then that's a good place to start. Amen? If you do know their name, then, you know, maybe there's some relationship. But let me just back up. If you don't know their name, then I can tell you this, that I can pretty much guarantee you, then you're probably not helping a whole lot bearing their burden if we don't even know their name. See, the local church is to be just that, local and a family. No family is perfect. Amen? Amen. Come on. Your family, whatever your family name is, it's not perfect. That means if a church is filled with imperfect families, then the church is also going to be imperfect. We're not looking for that perfect church, but we're looking to be burden bearers. So think about the person that is beside you. Now, if you're related to them, I hope you know their name. Beyond that, If they're not your family, then I hope that you would know their name, though. Do you know the person you're sitting beside? I didn't mean to sit by this person, not in being in a rude way. They just sat down beside me today. This is how it worked out. How many other times have we been around in the church in that area where that person has sat near us and we know nothing about them? I don't really think that's the way God intended it to be. And God instructs us to be a burden bearer. And the one way that we can be a burden bearer is to begin to get to know one another, even if it's in the most common way, and that is with a name. A name. Let me open up. Let's open up God's Word now and see a few observations from the Apostle Paul here regarding burden bearing. If I can say that enough today, maybe I'll get it exactly right. Verse 2, the Bible says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Number one, I believe we see here that we need to ask God to make me helpful. Make me helpful. As a burden bearer, that means we're going to be helping someone else. I guarantee you this, there are numerous burdens that came in this auditorium today. Numerous. Many people today brought in with them some sort of a health request, a health burden. I won't have you raise your hand, but I'm sure there are numerous people that you have a personal health burden, or someone close to you has a personal health burden, and it's on your heart. There are numerous people here that came into this meeting today that came in not only with a health burden, but came in with maybe a burden within their family. It might not be a health issue, but it might be just any sort of family burden. And you that came in with you because it's part of you, it's who you are. And not necessarily are these burdens, if you will, deep sin. That does, by the way, a burden isn't only sin, okay? Obviously, people that are sick and that aren't healthy, that's a burden. We're not talking that they've done something wrong, and so they have this ailment that God has given them. That is not always the way God works. So I'm not talking about it in that respect. But I think every one of us understand that we have burdens that we carry with us, concerns that we have, and yes, we need to bring them to the Lord, but even in our best day, it's very difficult many times to separate ourselves completely from those burdens because of the nature that we still carry with us. And so the first thought is, God, make me helpful. You know what? If we all left here today with that one thought in mind, as a member and attender of Anchor Baptist Church, I want to be helpful. Letter A, I want to be helpful in love. In love. Turn with me quickly to the Bible in the Gospel of John and chapter number 13. In chapter number 13 of John. God, make me helpful in love. You know, love really corrects a lot, doesn't it? Love wipes out a lot of problems. We need God's help in the area of love. You know, there are still people in this world today, sometimes, maybe it's us, and again, I don't mean to be unkind, but we all, you know, I would hope many of us in here know, we serve a God who loves us. He loves us in spite of us. You know, that's a blessing to be able to think about that. A holy God loves a sinner like Ben Turner. And no matter what I do, the love that God has for me never changes. It stays the same. And, you know, that's some kind of love I want to have for my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But, you know, I have to admit that many times our love is like this. It's like the roller coaster at the P&E. It's up 1 minute, down the next. Up 1 minute, down the next. No more roller coasters for me. I'm just going to stick with on the ground, all right? But that's the way our love is. And it all is based on how others treat us. Submit to you today that I am glad God does not base his love on how I treat him. His love is unconditional. John's Gospel, verse 34 of 13, chapter of John, it says, A new commandment that I give unto you. Commandment is not optional, amen? A The commandment is not optional. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. How? As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. There are many today, I'm sure, that would say, yes, I could use a little more love of the brethren. And again, I'm not asking for us to have some sort of a pity party on ourselves, but to say, God, I want to be more helpful in this area of love. Number two, or letter B, I want to be more helpful in labor. Let's go back to the text today in verse number two. It says, bear ye one another's burdens. This word in our text, burdens, comes from the Greek word baros, which is spelled B-A-R-O-S. And this word burdens, which is translated from the Greek word baros, means heaviness, it means weight, it means trouble. Anybody in here ever been in trouble? Not just at home with mom or dad. We all understand what it means to be in trouble. Bearing burdens from this text is not optional. You see that? It's a command. I am commanded to bear your burden. You are commanded to bear my burden. It is a command that we help carry the weights of other believers. Again, I submit to you, I believe personally that there is an implication here that there is a deep relationship with these people. There's no way a shallow shaking of a hand, Brother Kim, good, I'm glad you came to church today. And if that's all I do until next Sunday with Brother Kim, I'm not going to know what his burdens are. How? Brother Marks, thank you for coming. You know, if you were a regular attender here, you know, and that's all I did was next Sunday I'll shake his hand again. And I'm not going to be able to bear his burdens on a one hand shake a week. Am I? Yes or no? No, it's impossible. So if bearing these gentlemen their burdens is a command, I got to figure out how to do this. Now, I don't have to figure it out. God will help me. I'm using me, but I'm referring to all of you too. Okay? I'm going to be bearing one another's burdens as the relationship is developed, as time is spent with one another. I believe that's implied because there's no way I wave to somebody, hey, thanks for coming to church today. Maybe I don't even shake everybody's hand. Oh, I know that's not a good thing, but I just wave and I don't even get to talk to everybody. How am I going to? And again, I'm not saying you have to bear everybody's burden. That's an unrealistic expectation, but I believe if it tells me to bear one another's burdens, there should be one. At least, bear ye one another's burdens in love, in labor. When we bear burdens, we follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read a verse to you. Quickly follow along. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. The Bible says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. True love will always labor no matter the trials and no matter the burdens. I'm sure there are numerous people that today you're sitting here and you say, I'd love to share my burden with someone. I'm sure of it. And again, I'm not talking about sitting around gossiping about someone or that. I'm just saying everyone here, my hand is up. And I don't need to dump on anyone. That's not what I'm saying. But in all of us here, we have feelings. We have struggles. To me, that's one blessing of the local church, that we have a team of people. We have an army, a family of God, that we can bear one another's burdens together. One day when you need to be encouraged, I can do that, or vice versa. And this can be done back and forth numerous times. It is, to me, the beauty of the local church. Years ago, the founder of the Salvation Army, General William Booth, was dying. The workers at that time of the Salvation Army, they were all gathered together for their annual conference, and they received a message from General Booth. Many of you know this illustration, maybe. The message that General Booth sent to the Salvation Army conference from his deathbed was one word. Does anybody happen to know what that word was? Maybe you remember hearing this. The one word that General Booth sent to the entire Salvation Army conference was others. That's it. Others. Wow. It's so easy for me to be all about me and no one else. It's so easy for me to live my life for Ben Turner and not really be thinking about someone else and the burden that they might have. Number one, we learn to be helpful. Number two, we learn from verse 3, make me humble. Make me humble. Verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something. You see, here's the danger in burden bearing. Is if I go over to Brother Kim and I bear his burden and I'm helping him, if I'm not careful, I can begin to think more of me than I'm supposed to. And then I go over and help Brother Marks as well, and now in my head, I can't even get out the door because, you know, they come up and they say, hey, you know, Brother Ben, thank you for helping me. Pastor Ben, thank you for helping me in this area. And if I'm not careful, it's in the context for a reason, isn't it? Because he says here, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, what does it say there? He deceiveth himself. By the way, God does not need me to bear your burden. He will find someone to help bear your burden. But I don't want to get to that place in my life. Letter A, beware of false pride. Beware of false pride. Reverend Walter Chelberg discovered the following two epitaphs in a local cemetery. Number one, she lived with her husband 50 years and died in a confident hope of a better life. That one you have to really kind of, but it hit some of you fast. I had to read it a few times. Here lies Jane Smith, wife of Thomas Smith, marble cutter. This monument was erected by her husband as a tribute to her memory and as a specimen of his work. Monument of the same size, $350. Beware of false pride. By the way, it's not supposed to be about the monument maker. It's supposed to be about the person buried there. We can begin to make even this burden bearing. I believe this is why it's there, because God knows how you, God knows how I, He knows how we operate. The minute we begin to think we're doing something for the Lord or doing something for someone else, if we're not careful, that big ego gets in the way. We must, letter A, beware of false pride. Letter B, we must beware of self-deception. Self-deception. The book of Proverbs tells us in chapter number 4, verse number 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I kind of got ahead of myself a moment ago. With this thought, we can begin to think that we are indispensable. Look, this thing of the Christian life is way above you and way above me. Again, we're saying, God, keep me humble, make me humble. Yes, God, I want to be helpful, but I don't want to be helpful to the extent of it going to my head and pride coming in. And we know what God does with my pride, don't we? He resists my pride. Spiritual man does not think he is something or that he is nothing. He simply doesn't compare. We can get to this place where it's the opposite end of humility, where we think we're just a no good nothing. But no, that's not true either. We're a sinner saved by grace. We can do great and mighty things through the Lord with the Lord's help. In the book, The Pursuit of God by Tozer, we find this: the meek man cares not at all who is greater than he. For he had long ago decided that the esteem of the world is not worth the effort. Why would we want to bear someone's burden? For the glory of God. Why would we want to bear someone's burden? To help that person? Yes, but that's not even the primary motive. The primary motive is to obey God's word, bring glory to God, and then a byproduct of that is, yes, the person is helped. encouraged. Make me helpful, Lord. Make me humble, Lord. And then lastly, number three, make me honorable. Make me honorable. Look at verses 4 and 5, please. Verses 4 and 5. But let every man prove his own work. You know, I was really captivated by this verse this week. As a pastor, I was challenged by this verse. Read this and the idea, maybe even as a pastor, with me. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. We pastors can many times be comparing ourselves with other pastors. To me, God really, really squeezed my heart and convicted me to not have that spirit in my life. Because I can rejoice, and I don't believe it's a prideful thing, but it's rejoicing in who I am. It's rejoicing in what God does through me, feeble as I am. I'm not going to be a pastor of a church of 5,000. I can almost guarantee you that. That's not my goal. But I know some very godly men that have influenced me that have pastored that many people. And that's good. Praise the Lord. But I am not supposed to look at them. I am supposed to prove. By the way, let's look at that word prove for just a minute. Letter A. Letter A is proving my work. Proving my work. Letter A. Let's look at that word prove. The word prove there means to test, to examine, to prove, to scrutinize, meaning to see whether a thing is genuine or not, to recognize as genuine after the examination. What is the emphasis here? It is placed on examining my works. So I examine my burden bearing. Is it genuine or not? Is my burden bearing for my pride, or is it for the glory of God? Make me honorable. Make me honorable. Comparison is always damaging. You should never compare yourself to anyone else. This should be your measuring stick, book, whatever, God's word. To compare ourselves among ourselves, the Bible says it is not wise. Therefore, according to this verse as well, I am supposed to test my burden bearing, not by my brother's burden bearing. Well, look at Sister So-and-so over there. She seems to be doing a better job. Stop right there. It says, prove your own work. Prove my own work. Well, look at brother so-and-so over here. No, stop. Don't do that. Comparison is always damaging. Why? Here's the two reasons. Number one, it leads to pride. Because there's another way to compare. Well, I'm doing way more than that guy. So this message is not for me. Well, that's not who you're supposed to be comparing yourself to. You're supposed to be comparing yourself to God's word, which is perfection. So number one, it can lead to pride. And number two, it can lead to a spirit of uselessness. You don't have to do that. You have to do what God created you to do. You have to serve how God created you to serve. And I'm not going to back up on it, but not every lady here needs to be in the nursery. That wasn't the point of what I said earlier. But if that's something that God spoke to you about, then maybe you need to talk to myself or talk to my wife, and you need to help carry that burden. Not everyone here can be a Sunday school teacher. Be what God has called you to be, but everyone is to be a burden bearer. There's no way around that. You can't get out of that one. If you want to try to get out of that one, you're going to have a conversation with God. Because I see no asterisk here that says, if I'm an introvert, I don't have to. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just telling you what it says. It says, bear ye one another's burdens. I don't have the gift. You don't have to have the gift. It just tells me, bear their burden. It doesn't have to be done on the platform. It can be done behind the scenes. Do you realize if everything that is done at Anchor Baptist Church that was behind the scenes stopped, we would be in utter chaos? I am all for the preaching of the Word of God. It needs to be, number one, it needs to be supreme. But if everything else stopped, that you don't know and I don't even know sometimes that happens on a Sunday, it would not be the same. Somebody's bearing the burden every week. Somebody's helping. Somebody's praying every week. By the way, that's a way to bear someone's burden. Praying for them. Writing them a note. Just want you to know, I prayed for you this week. Again, it doesn't have to be yes, some of us are introverts. I'm not criticizing you if you're an introvert. But that doesn't mean that all of us that are extroverts, and I don't even know if I'm that, but whatever I am, I need to be a burden bearer. Throwing aside all of the personality traits, God wants me to bear burdens. But God doesn't expect me to compare. Be who I am to be. Be who you are to be. Paul says, examine. Let every man prove his own work. Can I just say that one more time? Don't compare your burden bearing with someone else. Faithfully carry a burden. Help with a burden. Love people. Labor together with one another. Don't let pride get in there, but don't let this mentality of, I can't do anything for God. That's a lie from the devil. Every child of God can do something for God. Every child of God can labor for God's glory. Every one of us. Where are you laboring for God? Find that place. Stay there. Maybe you're not laboring for God right now. Well, that's something you're going to have to talk to God about. Everybody should be laboring for God. 2 Corinthians 13:5, verse, the first part of the verse says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Romans 14:10, the Bible says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As believers, I'm not going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and say, hey God, just so you know, I did more than Brother Kim. That's not going to cut it. And I'm completely being just an illustration. Brother Kim's not going to be able to say, I did more than Brother Marks. No. I'm going to stand before God, and I'm going to answer to God for what I did or did not do for His glory. And there's going to be some kind of a torch. I don't know how it's going to work, but everything's going to be piled up, and it's going to be lit on fire. I hope there's not many ashes. I hope there's some things that are left over that I can give back to the Lord as a way of appreciation for the fact that He's given me eternal life in heaven. Don't compare, but be a burden bearer. Letter B, make me honorable. Letter A, proving my work. Letter B, bearing my burdens. Verse 2 is speaking of service. Verse 5 is speaking of our personal responsibility. You say, Pastor Turner, no one's helping me carry my burdens. That's why I'm quitting on God. Sorry, that's not going to cut it either. Yeah, I've been coming to this church for so long and no one's helped me carry my burden. That's not going to work. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. I am still personally responsible. By the way, I still love the verse in the Bible that says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I think there's something to that, don't you? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I don't have any friends. Okay, well, let's think about it here. The Bible says a man that hath friends. So someone that's going to have friends must show themselves friendly. That'll help you, I think. It's the Bible, right? Here's another verse on the same subject, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in his body according to that. What's the next three words? He hath done. Circle those in your mind. Circle those in your heart. I am not going to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ and be able to say, no one helped me carry my burden. that's why I failed. No, it's not going to work. I will stand before God and give an account for what I have done. In other words, verse two, the last part of bearing my burdens is, God, help me to bear my own burdens. By the way, you have God's Spirit living inside of you, which means you can bear your burden because you have God helping you. I can bear my burden. Yes, I want your help. That's what it's talking about. If you go back quickly to Galatians chapter 6, that's why it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. I'm still responsible. One way to check my spiritual growth, as we conclude, one way to check my spiritual growth is how I handle burdens. Others and my own. A growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A growing Christian will, number one, help others carry their own burdens. A growing Christian, number two, by God's grace, will carry his or her own burdens. Let every man bear his own burden. Now again, I'm thankful that God tells me in 1 Peter 5:7 to cast all my care on him, for he careth for you. I'm not living this Christian life. I hope I'm not living it all alone. In other words, trying and trying and trying. No, stop trying and start trusting. Stop trying and start trusting. If you're not saved today, you're not going to be saved by trying to live the Christian life, by trying to do right. You must trust the Lord for salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. If in any way you are depending on yourself to go to heaven, you are not saved. I prayed a wonderful prayer a few years ago. That's depending on yourself. I see nowhere in the Bible a specific thing that someone has to pray. Lord, save me. From the heart, that's enough. Save my soul. The point is, today, maybe you are a church goer, but you're not a heaven goer. Well, I go to church, but are you going to heaven? Do you know Christ is your Savior? I hope so. No, Christ wants to be your Savior in a permanent relationship, a no-so relationship. You know him. And then those of us that are saved today, and I'm not making us above someone that's not saved, but if we know we're saved today, the Christian life is spent helping people to love God even more and know more about God. It is great. It is great to serve people. It's great to serve one another. You ladies that help in the nursery, you men that help and serve, and we people that we serve together, all of us here serving together. I mean, think about it. What an honor it is. We are a servant, not of Anchor Baptist Church. You are a servant, and I am a servant of God. Somebody put this together. Thank you for serving. Somebody put together a fresh flower bouquet back there. Is that how you say it? Bouquet, I think. Anyway, bouquet, bouquet. Potato, potato, however you say it. Look at that thing on the way out. Somebody put that together for today. That took some time. It's beautiful. You know, these things, they don't just happen. Brother Ravert sang a song today. I love that song. That was for the Lord. It helped me, but it was for the Lord first and foremost. Somebody changed diapers today. That was a burden bearer for that little baby, wasn't it? Get this burden off of me. I don't know what to do with this thing. I made it, but I don't know what to do with it. Got to bear the burden. Believe me, that boy or girl's glad for it. It's for the Lord. We do all of this for the Lord. Don't lose sight of it. It is not for man. Last thing that you need is for a man to clap for you, but not God. I want God. I want to hear that. Well done, thou good and faithful. It's not perfect. I'm not perfect. I have so many things to work on. By God's grace, I want to be a faithful burden bearer, because it's a commitment.